Get started. That Matt, wherever he is, he did a great job the last few weeks. So awesome. And all the gentlemen that have stepped up and done this have done a really good job. So it's been awesome and encouraging to listen to everybody and the different ways that people kind of go about teaching lessons and stuff. So thank you, gentlemen, for that. Before we get started, though, take a sip of water here. Got a couple of jokes for you guys. Everybody likes jokes, right? Kind of break the tension. At least that I'm feeling, because I'm nervous. Not you guys. You guys are fine, right? So, first joke. What did the elderly horse say after it tripped? Help, I've fallen, and I can't giddy up. I don't know why that one made me think of Dave. So, I don't know. Looking good tonight, by the way. Thank you. What? Speaking of horses, what do you call a horse that has really good balance? Stable. This is going to be a long night. I hope not. Time flies when you're having fun. Fruit flies like a banana. Bugs, you know, fruit flies like bananas. And finally, last joke for now. Why did the chicken cross the road? See, that's what a lot of people say. But it was actually because his friends were grumblers and gossipers, which oddly enough segues us straight into my lesson this evening, which is about grumbling, complaining, and gossiping in the workplace. So, go ahead and jump into it here, as they say. Here. Technology. All right, so one of the hardest things for a company to deal with is the discontentment of its workforce. When you don't have employees that actually want to work, the company will likely fail if it doesn't eventually fix the problem. As Christians, we shouldn't get caught up in the habit of complaining or murmuring or gossiping, not only in the workplace, but in our everyday lives as well. If these things are detrimental to a company, then they're equally, if not more, detrimental to the church, locally, or worldwide. This evening, we'll look at some examples of complaining or gossip in the Bible and in our lives, why we as Christians need to stay away from it, and how we can keep ourselves better in check when it comes to these things. So the base scripture or foundation scripture that this lesson will kind of revolve around is found in Philippians 2, verses 12 through 16. And I like Matt's idea of flipping the coin so much that I'm not going to use it this week. I will read this one, though. So, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16 says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain." So, what is the definition of the word complain? Well, to complain, if you Google it or look it up in a dictionary, it'll probably say something along the lines of to express dissatisfaction or annoyance about something. Some similar words are to protest, to grumble, and to whine. You know, it's kind of like when we're told to do something and we're like, oh man, I have to do that, oh this is dumb, blah, blah. And we kind of whine about it. And it's not always necessarily that we don't do the thing, right? But it's the attitude that we do it in. And then to murmur is to say something in a lower soft voice, which isn't always complaining, but it typically refers to complaining, especially under one's breath. Complaining, also important to note that complaining isn't always necessarily a sin. There are a number of examples of people crying out to God or expressing dissatisfaction with the situation in the Bible. But those aren't the type of complaints that we're going to focus on this evening. We're going to focus more on the grumbling or the wee-wee whining complaints or faithless complaints, as some may put it. So what are some examples of these faithless complaints in the Bible? Well, one group of people that you probably think of right away is the Israelites. The Israelites were definitely some complainers. Reminds me of something. I'm just kidding. So if somebody could read Exodus 14, verses 10 through 12, it would be awesome.
When Pharaoh got closer, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them, and they were terrified. The Israelites cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the desert? What in the world have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt?"
All right, so we can see here that the Israelites are complaining and saying that it would have been better to serve the Egyptians than to come all the way this way just to die in the wilderness, right? If somebody could turn to Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 24.
Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went to the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, but they were bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it in the waters, and the waters became became sweet. Then he made for them a statute and regulation that there he tested them. And he said, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to the commandments, and keep all the statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer."
Right, so we can see there they grumbled against Moses, saying that the water was too bitter to drink. If somebody could go to Exodus 16, verses 2 through 3, and then if somebody else wants to pull up Exodus 17, verses 1 through 3 as well, we'll go to that one next.
And the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we have died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and we ate bread to full, for we have brought us out here to die in the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger."
Yes, 17, 1 through 3.
Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin, according to the command of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, "Why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?"
All right, so we can see in those two verses that they are complaining about not having enough food, and it would have been better to stay in Egypt because at least they had food there and water and whatnot. And obviously the list of complaints for the Israelites continues to go on and on, but I won't continue to list them out because there's quite a few of them. The next group of people that we can kind of look at for some examples of grumbling and complaining are the Pharisees. So if we go, if somebody could turn to Luke chapter 5, verses 29 through 30. Luke 5, 29 through 30. I believe so. That's what I have written down. I hope so.
5:29. And Levi made a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and all, and of the others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against the disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with a publican and sinners?"
So we can see here that Jesus was eating at a banquet full of tax collectors and sinners, and they murmured and grumbled about it to the disciples. If somebody could turn to Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 2. And then after that, John chapter 6, verses 41 through 42, if someone wants to get that ready.
Luke 15, 1 and 2. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming to hear him, but the Pharisees and the experts in the law were complaining, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them."
Same situation again there.
John 6, what?
6, verses 41 through 42.
Then the Jews murmured at him because he had said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How then that he said, 'I am the bread of heaven'?"
All right, so the Jews here didn't like it when Jesus said that he came from heaven. So, again, they grumbled. To complain and to grumble about something, especially in the Israelites' case, is pretty much directly or indirectly saying that God isn't good enough. And most of this, in my opinion, comes from two main things, which is, one, a lack of understanding, and two, a lack of trust in God. So lack of understanding, it's kind of like telling a kid to brush his teeth or telling a teenage boy to take a shower, right? They may complain and grumble about it because they don't really understand why they need to do those things, but man, do they need to. And then a lack of trust in God. Too often, you know, we go through things and, you know, rather than trusting in God and his plan, we tend to kind of complain like the Israelites. If somebody could turn to Proverbs 3, 5, and then also Philippians 4, 6.
You say 3, 5?
Correct.
Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding.
And then Philippians 4, 6.
First, I just want to say great job thus far, Isaac.
Thank you. Wow, I appreciate it.
It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God.
Love this guy. But, yeah, as we can see, we need to put our trust in God. It's a very important thing to do, especially, you know, if we tend to complain a lot like the Israelites. And as we can see with the Israelites, eventually God did start punishing them for all their complaining and grumbling and ultimately for their lack of trust. So probably best not to follow in their example in that particular subject.
That being said, you know, the Israelites, they didn't really know. If they're taken out there, they don't know that God's got something better in store for them. That's where our faith has to come in today, because we may be going through some really tough times now. But we need to keep our faith in the Lord and understand that he's got a plan. We don't know what that plan is. You know, we may not understand everything we're going through, but it may be that he's looking to see if we can handle the things he's given us now, he may give us better things later. You know what I mean? So just like the Israelites, instead of just complaining immediately, I mean, they just come out of Egypt. They haven't even got to the Red Sea yet. The Egyptians are chasing them. They're already complaining.
Yeah, yeah. That's why it's very important for us to, no matter what, we gotta keep our trust in the Lord. And that's definitely something they didn't do a very good job of. Ultimately, we can find the root for our grumbling and complaining and whatnot in our own pride and selfishness. AKA, it's kind of an attitude problem. If somebody could turn to Proverbs 11:2, then Proverbs 16:18.
I just want to say, I wish you could do a little better. Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom."
Can you read that again? I didn't hear you. Yeah, go ahead.
Do a little better.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom.
Wow. I thought that guy was my friend, man. You're supposed to be greeting out there. Get back out there. Get out of here. And then Proverbs 16:18.
Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall.
and then I'll read Proverbs 13:10. I'll do my best. Where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. And then 1 Peter 5:5, if somebody could pull that up. 1 Peter 5:5.
You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Not sure what Xander was wearing, but it definitely wasn't humility. I'm just kidding. But as we can see with these verses, pride will destroy us eventually, but humility brings wisdom, and we are to clothe ourselves with humility. Our attitude towards work is directly correlated to our work ethic. If we have an attitude of humility rather than an attitude of pride, we will find that it is much easier to not only be a great worker, but to keep ourselves in check when it comes to complaining and grumbling. Remember, as Christians, we are to serve the Lord and glorify Him through all that we do. So if we're going to say we're Christians, we need to make sure we act it out. It's also important to remember, especially when we're struggling with complaining and whatever it may be, that through all the stuff that Jesus went through on his way to the cross, he never once complained negatively. So that's always something that can kind of knock some sense into you, I guess, if you will. So what can we as Christians do if we experience grumbling or complaining in the workplace or in the world? Well, we can join in. No, I'm kidding. Do not join in. You can laugh. It was a joke, guys. a lot of this goes along with what Matt said. We can call it out. There's different ways to call it out. Sometimes it is hard to do, and it may not be the most appropriate thing to do, but there are times when it is necessary to call somebody out for it. And another big thing that we can do is to not involve ourselves or to flee. A good example of this is found in the story of Joseph, which is one of my favorite stories and one of my favorite Bible characters because I can relate to him very well. If somebody could turn to Genesis 39, verse 6.
So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance.
We didn't actually have to read that verse. I just wanted to show you guys why I related to him so much. that's pride, right? Sorry. Anyway, I'm sorry. That was dumb. I apologize. Genesis 39, verses 11 through 2. I'll read this one. 11 through 12, not 11 through 2. One day, he went into the house to attend to his duties. None of the household servants were inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. So as we can see here, Joseph, he ran. He fleed from it. He didn't stand and try to fight. And that's sometimes what we have to do as Christians. There are times when we need to be firm and stand our ground, but there are also times, as we can see, when we need to run or flee from things. A couple more verses, 1 Corinthians 10, 12 through 14. Then 1 Corinthians 6, 18. And then 1 Timothy 6, 10.
Corinthians 10,
12 through 14.
Therefore, let him who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, and who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry.
Then 1 Corinthians 6:18. No takers. I got it. Okay. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Oh. 1 Timothy 6:10 through 11.
For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. But flee from these things, you man of God. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness.
Thank you. So as we can see here, a couple of examples of things that we do need to flee from, different temptations and whatnot. Sometimes, like I said, it's necessary for us to run from it rather than to stand and try to fight it. So we'll get into gossip, I guess, next week. Looks like we're running out of time. So does anybody have any comments or anything like that? All right. If not, you guys are dismissed, I guess.